Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's Wednesday. It's the Matthew Rayburn Show. Yes, I'm live. Yes, I'm wearing a new pocket square. It's not really new. I found it underneath of the plethora of ties that I have. Matt, didn't you organize your ties the other day? I did. But I didn't find this pocket square, which looks great. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Matthew Rayburn this morning. The Matthew Rayburn Show. That's what this is. And let's dance. I love you. Let's dance. Oh, yeah. If you're listening to the Matthew Rayburn Show, you can't see this phenomenal dance moves. But if you're watching the Matthew Rayburn Show live on Facebook every Sunday and Wednesday, you're more than welcome to watch these dance moves. And you're also welcome to dance with me. The audio is going to get better. The technology is going to get better. The show is going to get better. I love you. Let's dance. Matthew Rayburn Show. Oh, my goodness. What a fool I am. But I love it so much. God loves me, and I love you. And it's a continuous state of betterment and a positive force for good. Matt, what are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about what to do when you're waiting on God. We're going to talk about how great this tea is from our special tea.shop. It's also National Waffle Iron Day. Get stoked, folks. It's National Waffle Iron Day. And we're going to be you know, talking about haunted bars here in Indiana, but that's life. And this is the Matthew Rayburn Show, and I love you so much, and I'm so thankful for you listening, so thankful for you watching. Let's continue the show. Our special tea.shop. Our special tea.shop can meet all of your loose leaf tea needs. Matt, what are you drinking this morning? I am drinking. Oh my, that's good. Purple Potion. It is a purple leaf tea with blood orange and vanilla honeybush. It is delicious. Have you ever had purple leaf tea before? It's similar to black tea in the sense of it's dark in the glass. But if you have a mug or a teacup that is clear, when the light hits it, it's a dark mauve, a dark purplish color. It's wonderful. What does purple tea taste like? Purple tea has a pleasant, sweet, and woodsy flavor. We usually see this in African rooibos blends, but today it is concentrated in this purple potion tea brought to you by our special tea.shop. It's delicious. It's wonderful. It's fantastic. It's different. Go to our special tea.shop for all your special tea needs, of course, but all your loose leaf tea needs. I prefer loose leaf over the bag tea. I use a tea ball to make my tea. Do not scorch your tea with hot boiling water. Bring it to a small simmer, which I noticed that my tea tastes better when I simmer and steep my tea instead of boil my tea. Our special tea.shop can meet all your special. I just said it again. I messed it up again. This is a live commercial here on the Matthew Rayburn Show. Our special tea.shop. Drink some tea, baby. Word of the day. You gotta, use your words. Otherwise, you're gonna lose your words. I love today's word because it's complex. It's nuanced. It's vast. Prescience. Prescience is the word of the day. Matt, how do you spell it? Well, it's a noun. It's spelled P-R-E-S-C-I-E-N-C-E. It almost looks like pre-science, which is an interesting thing to say like that because of the definition. Prescience. Matt, what's the definition of prescience? Prescience is the ability to see or anticipate what will or might happen in the future. It is a little bit different than being psychic, and it is different than a deja vu. I went to I went to epilepsy.com, and I was reading about this particular effect on the brain. This science group agrees that this is interesting, that deja vu is a mild epileptic activity in the brain in the frontal lobe, but as it happens, so it's a cluster of cells that are connected chemically strong, and so that's what memories are. In the physical sense, not necessarily the spiritual sense. But all that said is it's different than prescience because prescience is more of an awareness of happenings or a wisdom from what's happened in the past. So then you can almost predict what's going to be happening in the future. Prescience is a word that I will be adding to my vocabulary. Let's use it in a sentence. Stacy had the prescience to know that the stock's value wasn't going to remain high forever. And she managed to sell it just before it started to decrease. It's interesting because it goes through this article about deja vu, goes through what's happening to the brain and how it's different than prescience and different than being psychic. Psychic is more of a spiritual aspect, like you're being told the future by another source, whereas precog, there's all kinds of, I guess these are all kind of connected, it's hilarious. Precogs is more of a deja vu blended with prescience. I'm not an expert on this, as you can tell, but I do have strong dreams. I do have visions that come true. I don't know when they're going to come true. I don't know how they're going to come true. A lot of times they're outlandish. A lot of times they're in situations that I wouldn't find myself in or think of myself in. A lot of times they are mundane. They're not wow and big and bold and crazy things are happening. It's not that at all. It's more, the way I can describe it is when I'm dreaming, it feels like I'm there. All five senses are active. It's so visceral. It's so real. I smell the cheese. I feel the wind. It's real. But then when it happens in reality on the timeline of existence, then I feel like it's a dream. I don't know what's happening. It's a real foggy and kind of muted and as if it's a dream. Whereas when I'm dreaming before that event happened, it's quite real and visceral. Prescience is the word of the day. What I described might be prescience. Or do you experience prescience often? Do you consider yourself a prescience-filled individual? Prescience is the word of the day. P-R-E-S-C-I-E-N-C-E. Word of the day. National Day. You got to celebrate life, and it's easy to do so when you go to nationaldaycalendar.com. It is National Parchment Paper Day. I love parchment paper. I love to bake. I love to cook. I cook quite often. I cooked yesterday. I could have used some parchment paper. I used foil instead. Maybe that's why the dish turned out phenomenal. Okay. It was actually a concentrated effort with me and my friends, and it was ideal, and it was wonderful and delicious. BLTs can be your best friend. National Day segment, Matt. Okay, let's continue. While adding convenience, parchment also infuses flavor, locks in moisture, and preserves vital nutrients. I love parchment paper. It has also long been a part of the traditional French kitchen. Versatile parchment easily transists from skillet oven to oven and from the grill to the table. It has a high burn rate, and what it's made of makes it all these wonderful things possible. Its ability to be elegant and useful makes it one of the more effective tools in the kitchen. You can, I forgot how to say it in French. There's a parchment paper fish dish where you wrap the fish in parchment paper and you bake it, and you put a bunch of goodies inside like capers and olives and lemon and a little bit of oil, salt and pepper, and you steep the fish in its own greatness. Okay, come on now. National Day. Let's continue. Parchment paper is amazing, but it is also National Camera Day. I'm on camera right now. You use the camera almost every day. Camera, you're on camera when you don't want to be on camera. The surveillance state, National Camera Day. Everything comes into focus on June 29th, each year when we recognize National Camera Day. The day commemorates photographs, the camera, and their invention. A camera is an irreplaceable tool used to record and replicate memories, events, and people and places. Before the invention of the camera, the only resource was to document a vision, or it was a painting, or I guess you would just talk about it, learning how to use your words. When I go on vacation, I don't take a lot of pictures. Matt, why? I like to experience it. I don't like to put up my phone when I'm at a concert. I like to experience it. I don't like to take a lot of random pictures of things that don't matter. I'm not a tourist, even though I would be. When I go as a tourist to visit someplace, I don't like to act like a tourist. I don't like to be a tourist. I like to act like I've already been there. I like to act like I know what I'm doing. It's weird. My personality is strange. Very few people can perfectly draw the likeness of someone, let alone capture the essence of an event. The power of a camera provided many with a simple, inexpensive, and fast solution. George Eastman, also known as the father of photography, brought the camera to the masses. While he did not invent the camera, he did develop many additions, improving the use, ease, and production of the camera. His developments made the camera widely available to homes around the world. Use hashtag National Camera Day in your social media posts today. Who's getting hungry? I am. It's National Almond Butter Crunch Day. Delicious. National Almond Butter Crunch Day is observed. Oh, I lost my place. That's life. It's a live show. Okay, how about this? Almonds, butterscotch, crunchiness into like a bark. It's delicious. So it's also National Waffle Iron Day. You love waffles? I love waffles. How about a almond butter crunch waffle today? That sounds wonderful. Use hashtag National Waffle Iron Day in your social media posts today. The waffle iron is usually two honeycomb patterned metal plates hinged together. A person pours or places the batter between the heated plates and then closes it to bake the waffle. Other patterns of waffle include zigzag, wow, heart-shaped, polka dot. That sounds kind of fun, polka dot waffle. Anyways, my point is I love waffles, okay? I like to put cornbread batter in my waffle maker. That's delicious. Cornbread waffles are delicious, especially with chili on a chilly day. It is National Day. Got to celebrate life. And it's I can speak English. And it's easy to do so when you go to nationaldaycalendar.com. Go celebrate life. Kingdom Landscape. Austin Moxley will be your landscaper of your dreams. He's a beautiful individual and an asset to my reality, and he is the owner of Kingdom Landscape. Call 317-296-3974. 317-296-3974 for Kingdom Landscape. Do you need some hardscaping? Do you need some landscaping? Do you need some free estimates on the beautiful artwork that he will create in your yard? Yes, you do. Call Austin Moxley at Kingdom Landscape. 317-296-3974. Who doesn't love a beautiful yard? Austin Moxley can make your yard even more beautiful than it already is. Kingdom Landscape. Weird news. I love weird things and I love news. And together it creates the weird news segment of the Matthew Rayburn Show. Oh my goodness. This one is weird and awesome. A haunted bar for sale in Indiana. Let's read. An Indiana bar that is said to be haunted by at least six ghosts has gone on the market, and the realtor in charge of the listing has highlighted the site's haunted reputation as a selling point. According to a local media report, the establishment known as Breeze Inn is located in the small town of Kempton and has been owned by sisters Cyan Fouch and Tara Fleming for the last 22 years. The duo recently decided to put the pub up for sale, which led to a rather odd conversation with the commercial real estate agent that they enlisted to find a buyer. Initially thinking that the site was, quote, just another bar, Abby Stancato recalled that, quote, I was about 45 minutes into the listing presentation when one of the owners said, quote, by the way, did you know that the bar was haunted, end quote. As evidence for their stunning claim, the sisters produced a thick binder that was stuffed with pictures purportedly showing the various spirits that had been photographed in the bar over the last two decades. In total, the pair contended that at least six spirits call the bar home, and Fouch indicated that they appear to be fairly comfortable interacting with patrons, as one observed that they, quote, like to play with your hair, end quote. Weird. She probably has had her hair played with many times when it comes to those ghosts. As one might imagine, the revelation proved to be something of a quandary for Stancato, as she was under no legal obligation to tell prospective buyers about the ghosts believed to be residing in the bar. That said, the realtor reasoned that it was probably unwise to wait under a sale to wait for the sale to be made before telling the new owners that the apparitions allegedly attached to the site, since it would undoubtedly, quote, freak them out. With that in mind, Stancato decided to embrace the possibly paranormal nature of the pub by boldly describing it as, quote, haunted bar of Kempton, and inserting amusing ghosts into the online images of the establishment. While the creative listing wound up generating considerable attention, it has yet to yield any offers. It has not yielded any offers from the brave buyers who might be interested in shelling out, oh my goodness, $250,000 for a bar that comes with six ghosts. Interesting and weird. Weird news. Would you go drink at this bar? Of course I go drink at this bar. Would you let the ghost play with your hair? No, I would shoo it away. I'd say, go over there, ghost. Get away from me. I'm trying to enjoy this cocktail. I mean, like, I wouldn't be afraid to go. It doesn't sound like they're malicious. It doesn't sound like they're malevolent. It doesn't sound like they're poltergeists. It doesn't sound like they would cause any harm. I don't, whatever. You might see the spirits after you drink some spirits. That was a bad joke. Welcome to the Matthew Rayburn Show with those bad jokes. Weird news. What do you do when you're waiting on God? How often do you wait on God? Do you feel like you're waiting on God a lot? Do you feel like you're in the waiting room of life, waiting on God to come out of the exam room and tell you it's your turn? It's fascinating to think about that. Waiting on God is important. It is a thing that Christians do often. It's amazing what happens to your life when you can wait on God in the correct way. And I mean that Because I've waited on God plenty of times. He's waited on me more than I've waited on him. When is he not waiting on me? We'll discuss that as we read the Bible today. Let's see here. So I'm so thankful for you watching. So thankful for you listening. If you're listening to the Matthew Raven Show for the first time, thank you so much once again. This is the Bible segment. I kind of rant. I feel. I be. I am. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm in a continuous state of betterment and a positive force for good. And hopefully the Lord can speak through me as I read His Word and talk about waiting on Him. Let's continue. So what do you do when you're waiting on God? Well, let's see. It's always a good idea to read the Bible. So the first thing I have written down here is rest in His presence. Rest in His presence. Let's read Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. You need only to be still. His will is going to be done. Okay. So you just need to rest in His presence. Be still. Know He is God. He is sovereign. He's Yahweh Yeshua. He's bigger than existence because He created existence. Wait on God. See here, 2 Peter 3:8. If you feel like you're in the waiting room of life, waiting for God, 2 Peter 3:8. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. So then as to continue like reading there, 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Are you waiting on Him, or is He waiting on you to move, to improve, to change, to confess, to find something that you need to improve on, to find something that you need to confess, to look in your heart for Him to search your heart, and you find something that needs to be unrooted and taken care of, whether it be, okay, sometimes sin can be so deep in your life that you forgot that was a sin, that sometimes sin and incorrect behavior can be so deep in your psyche that it becomes part of your personality, it becomes such a behavior that is such a pattern, that is such a habit, that is so ingrained in your psyche that it seems like you wouldn't even know yourself if you didn't have that sin in your life. Like you wouldn't even know yourself if you didn't have that proclivity, that behavior, that negative attribute that you've kind of gotten used to, that other people tolerate, that you've tolerated into the point where it's become a personality trait. It's fascinating. It's fascinating. So ask God to search your heart. And we're going to, as we move on, we're going to find ways to what to do when you're waiting on God. Let's see. Rest in His presence, of course. Be still and know that He is God. Let's read Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He is big. He is strong. He created existence. Rest in Him. Know that He is God. Rest in His presence. Rest in His love. Rest in His mightiness. Rest in His godliness. Rest in everything that you know that God is, because it's everything that you're not. Man, I'm broken. Man, I'm a bad individual. I mean, seriously. And then for the Lord to give me this show, for the Lord to give me this audience, for the Lord to have people care about what I say, it's like, I'm so humbled. I'm just a vessel. Okay. I am but a weak man. Okay. And I'm trying to rest in God's presence. And so what happens when you rest in God's presence is it gives you time to assess what needs to improve. And that's the next, that is the next verse. But I wanted to read this, Psalm 62:1, truly my soul waiteth upon God. For Him cometh my salvation. Amen. Amen. Another thing to do when you're waiting on God is to find ways to improve. You want to be in a continuous state of betterment, and you want to be in a positive force for good. You cannot do that without a relationship with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. It's quite real. It's quite serious. And it's quite unburdensome. You know, put your cares on Him. He can handle it. Don't worry. Love God. But see, it's funny because you want to be in a continuous state of betterment. You want to find deep things in your life that need to be improved, that you can improve on, that you can, adding things that are bad, adding it to yourself as strength, becoming stronger when bad things happen to you, not becoming weaker. There is a time to mourn, but there's a time to celebrate, okay? There's a time to be brave, and there's a time to retreat, of course. But all that said is you got to ask Him to find sin that you've not ever dealt with, no matter how deep it is, no matter how deep He has to search. It's super serious. Because you don't want to carry that into the future. You don't. I'm looking to find a girlfriend/wife and then build a family, and I don't want to instill bad things that I have in my life now into my future family. I don't want the negative things that I have going on in my life, my sin, whatever the case may be, to negatively impact my future family, to negatively impact my future self. What am I saying? Like, I don't even have those things yet. I'm talking about the way I'll be tomorrow, the way I'll be the next day, that what'll come out of my mouth at work, what'll come out of my mouth at the grocery store, what'll come out of my mouth with my friends. Okay, I need to find ways to continually improve, to be in a continuous state of betterment. I say it often, but I mean, like, how can you find a new way to a betterment? Learn a new skill. I'm refreshing how to play the ukulele right now. I'm learning how to play chords on the keyboard. I am going to learn some Espanol. I'd like to become fluent in Espanol so I can do the show better, so I can grow God's kingdom, so my personal ministry, whatever that may or may not look like in the future. But I'd love to learn that language because billions and billions of people speak that language, and it's probably a good idea to learn the language that they speak so you can properly speak upon what God has for them in His Word. So learn a new skill. Find ways to improve. Learn to juggle. Learn to dance. Learn to sing better. Just while you're waiting on God, find other ways to worship Him. When you're waiting on God, find new ways to celebrate Him. While waiting on God, find a new skill, because when you're finding a new skill, it helps you wait. Like, if you can juggle books and you're in a waiting room at the dentist office, entertain the people around you and juggle those books, okay? Matt, that's silly. But I'm dead serious. Learn a new skill when you're waiting on God. So, you know, it can help you with your patience. Because if you don't have any patience, at least you can be doing something while you're waiting on God instead of, like, literally just sitting in His presence. It's not like we talk about sitting in His presence. That's quite needed. But sometimes you need to go do something. While you're waiting on Him to do, even though He's always doing something, He's always working, His plan is always being done, His will is always being done. While you think that you're waiting on God, learn a new skill, okay? Don't get bored in the waiting room of life, okay? Learn a new skill. God bless. What else should we do, Matt, when we're waiting on God? Worship Him. Worship Him. God is good. I just said that His will is going to be done. He's always working His plan, okay? So worship Him. Be thankful for that. Be thankful that the Lord God Almighty has a plan for you, has a plan for me, has a plan for you over there and her over there, and even, you know, your children, whoever's watching the show, whoever's listening to the show. Okay, if you're driving around in your car, if you're watching me in a waiting room because you're bored and you want to watch some spaz guy looking fly in a blazer. I love this blazer; it's my favorite. Well, is it my favorite blazer? I love the feel of this blazer. I know this is a weird tangent, but I love God. Okay, I love God. And I love how He's given me these clothes. And well, it's been an accumulation of everything since eighth grade. I stopped growing in eighth grade, and so I started to accumulate fly clothes. And so all that said is, like, I got some pretty good clothes, and I'm thankful. Everything can burn up in a fire. No, I got it. And I could do this show naked, even though it wouldn't be as, or maybe it would be. Never mind. All that said is, I'm just thankful for God, and I'm thankful that I have the ability to worship Him. And then this is my Sunday's best, so I worship Him through my garments. Okay. Oh my. So here it is. Let's go back to the notes. It's always a good idea to read the Bible. Let's read Psalm 156. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Okay. Whether it be the birds, the dogs, the Rayburns, you know, the weirdos online, whoever it may be, I'm so thankful that I have God in my life. I'm so thankful that I can hear Him through His Word. I'm so thankful that I can hear Him through the advice and wisdom that's given me by my elders, through my friends, through my work, through my coworkers, through my family members. I'm in love with life, and as I'm learning to love life more, the life that God gave me, the life that I feel like I'm waiting on Him. I'm not waiting on God. God's waiting on me to find something to improve on, to worship Him more, to rest in His presence more. He'll tell you what you need to be doing. His will is not mysterious. His will is not this, like, amorphous, you know, mind game where you got to, like, tell the correct riddle to the Sphinx and then you can pass, go, and not go to jail. No, it's nothing like that. Well, what it is, it's relationship. I have a relationship with God. God loves me. God wants to see my life to benefit. He wants to imbue his life in, or His love into my life for others. That's His will. He wants my life to be a vessel for His doing. I'm just like a shell, and I'm just like kind of like a spiritual robot kind of thing, like walking around trying to do His will. But sometimes I short circuit in my personal programming. My own will kind of gets in the way. My own humanity gets in the way. My sin gets in the way. My fallacies get in the way of God's doing. And so God's always working. God's always moving. God's always being. God's always loving. God is working. God is good. God is good. And so it's so hard to do that sometimes when you're waiting on God. It's so hard to do, to raise your hands in the air and say, thank you so much, Jesus Christ, for everything that you're doing for me in my life. Even this negative, awkward, hard time. It's like, it's so hard to do that sometimes because you're trying to be in a continued state of betterment. You're trying to improve. You're trying to find sin to remove in your life. You're trying to help your friends. You're trying to help others. You're trying to help your family members. And so I'm just so in love with the Bible and the Word of God. Psalm 103:1, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Amen. That's so hard to do sometimes when the guac's hitting the fan. That's so hard to do sometimes when you think that you've been waiting on God to do something in your life for years. You've been praying and praying and crying and praying and crying and crying and praying. It's like, where's the reprieve? Where's the reprieve, Lord? And he's like, I got something for you, and you need to. You're upset, and it's based out of your pride. And I'm talking really personal right now. And it's like, yes, I got a pride issue. I have a pride issue. And it metastasizes into impatience because I think I know best. I think I know better. I'll solve my own problem. I'll just do it now, Lord. I'm tired of waiting on you. I'll just do it now. No, I'm tired of waiting. I'll just do it. I'll just do it myself. And because I'm imperfect and because I'm human, boop, messing up. And it snowballs into bigger mistakes because I try to keep trying to fix it. And then all of a sudden I get crushed by a snowball, or the boat is sinking because I can't plug up all the holes with my toes and fingers. And so it's like, it gets serious. So what do you do when you're waiting on God? You love him more. You rely on him more. Man, it's so hard to do. I know it's not natural. It's not human to do that. But you need to do that because he loves you and his will be done anyway. Okay? He created you. That was his will for you to be alive. It was your will to hear this message. It was his will for me to be placed on my heart for it to come out of my mouth. That's what his will was. And so what is his will this afternoon? I don't know. Probably not to sin. I mean that with love. I mean that with respect. Probably not to make a fool of myself. Probably for you to be in a continuous state of betterment, for you to be in a positive force for good. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to worship him. He wants you to rest in his presence, and he wants you to find ways to improve. That's what you do when you're waiting on God. That's what you do when you don't know what to do. You worship, you wait in his presence, you rest in his presence. You take a deep breath, understand that air came from him. You take a deep breath and understand that blood that's flowing through your veins was put there. You do not tell your heart to beat, yet it beats. Okay? Yet you blink. Yet you think. Your body is alive. You are alive. Worship him. Rest in his presence. I can go on. I'm loving this, guys. I love this segment. I love this subject matter. I love the verses that I read today. God bless you. Thank you so much for listening to the Matthew Urban Show. This was the Bible segment. I was going to call it the Bible segment of the Matthew Urban Show. I love you. Guys, thank you so much once again for listening to the Matthew Urban Show. I'm live every Wednesday, live every Sunday. If you'd like to be a guest on the Matthew Urban Show, please comment down below on the Facebooks, on the Instagrams, on the YouTubes. Please comment down below. I'm trying to grow this show. I'm trying to grow it into a beautiful thing where people talk about it and people know about it, not because of my pride, not because of who I am, but who God is and who I want God to be through me and what I want to see God do in my community, what I want to see God do in my family, my church, with my friends. God bless you. God bless America. Let us dance. Oh, my goodness. Do that. Bow. Do do. Bow. 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 Guys, I'm so thankful once again. I love you. I love life. I love God. And I'm serious. It's a beautiful situation. It's just swirling. I'm just spilling. I'm like shaking with adrenaline right now. I love you. I love life. God bless you. God bless America. You know we need it. Matthew Urban Show.